Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 446. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Iron Man 2. That movie is art.
It's art. It's what?
It's art. It's,
I thought you said it's art.
No.
Art. I mean, there is nothing that says art has to be good.
It's true.
I don't hate
art. There's Iron Man. A lot of artistry that went into it. A lot of
sure.
So really much talented art. People. To turn out that mediocrity.
Sometimes you can have a really great team and they can be poorly led.
It's almost like they're some sort of suicide squad.
But,
yeah. yeah. Jeff is here as well. Hello. As is Earl.
Who regrets being here.
I'm back from my hiatus.
Iron Man 3. I assume we're just saying Marvel movies now, so.
Okay. No, Iron Man 3 was actually good.
Iron Man 3 is okay. I enjoyed it the first time I saw it. Like, I really enjoyed it. And then I rewatched it at Year 8, and I'm like, oh, this movie's just kind of
okay.
Exists.
I really liked it the first time I saw it. I have not watched it since, but I could see maybe coming in.
Yeah, it gets weird in hindsight because it creates the movie where Robert Downey Jr. is like, I'm the star of this movie, so you're going to see me as much as possible. And then he just does sequels anyhow, and it's like, oh, I'll be Iron Man. Sure, whatever.
I just saw somebody get attacked by a flaming turkey.
That's interesting.
Well, DC is an interesting place.
It really is.
A flaming turkey.
Yeah, I may have lit it on fire, and then the turkey attacked them.
Okay. So, Tony
This is derailed quickly.
Yeah, Tony's lighting birds on fire, and
somebody's got to do it.
Somehow we're back at Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2 and 3. Before we jump into kind of like what we've been playing, though, there were some Nintendo rumors.
Oh.
You guys want to break them down, Jeff?
Yeah, I'll start with the Best Buy shit because that's what I know.
Okay.
So, I guess in the employee computer at fucking Best Buy, they had listings with SKUs and all that for one. I keep forgetting the one I don't really care about, which is.
Is it Persona 5?
Yeah, Persona 5. But like, I honestly would. I would be interested in that. If that's a true thing, I would probably buy that game for Switch, so that's cool. Another one was Metroid Prime Trilogy. This is one of the longest running rumors in video game history, it feels like.
Yeah, I
it does, but it's already been since like December.
I could have sworn it's at least a year old, this idea that this was they should do this.
I mean, the first I really heard of it gaining traction, I could be wrong, was around the Game Awards.
I don't know. I think that was like when
we first heard like it's going to be announced at the Game Awards.
Yeah,
but it was like at that point it was something that like we had already kind of like been thinking about for a long time. I don't know whether rightly.
If your name is Jeff, I think
yeah, just maybe for me, I've been thinking about it forever. But
from what I gathered, and I assume what makes logical sense, is that Metroid Prime Trilogy was something that was in the works and was going to be released last year. But once they delayed Metroid Prime 4, they probably had to delay this too, because the whole point is to kind of refresh people's idea of what the franchise was. And I think once you push back Metroid Prime 4, if there's like a 2 or 3 year gap between them, it just seems weird.
Well, that suggests that they knew they were going to delay Metroid Prime 4 like last year.
Well, again, if it was supposed to be announced at the Game Awards, and they didn't announce Metroid Prime 4, but I assume they probably figured it out sometime at the end of last year that it wasn't going to make it.
Yeah,
right.
Probably
right around when the Game Awards were coming.
Yeah, and it's just, and by all accounts, like this is like a strong rumor. This is like supposedly done, you know. Please, I mean, release it right now. I can use that game.
But I mean, I also think that ideally as a strategy, they don't necessarily, they can hold on to it to close it to Metroid Prime 4, because it's one of those games that if it's done, you can just kind of drop in your line to fill some type of gap.
No, they need to say sorry this year and drop that. It's just a matter of when. I would say my preference would be summer, like June, like right around actually E3. Like, guess what? Metroid Prime Trilogy is on the eShop right now.
Isn't that when Super Mario Maker 2 is coming out? Yeah.
When is that? When does that come out?
I think it's like June 22nd or something like that.
Well, shit, man. You could sometimes have a couple games.
But I mean, I think
Nintendo we're talking about. They only release like
I know, like year. One game. Yeah, exactly.
I was about to say like sometimes. It's actually a pretty stacked back half of the year, which is why I don't think they necessarily need it. Because you got what Mario Maker, Fire Emblem, Pokemon, Animal Crossing.
All I can say is Animal Crossing better fucking hit this year. I was so mad if they fucking play.
And you got the Link's Awakening.
Yeah, Cadence of Hyrule. There's a lot of games that fell out this year for them. So, like Metroid Prime, I could see. Again, if it's finished, they can drop it whenever, and maybe they'll put somewhere. It in May. But they can also hold it to like first quarter of next year when they traditionally don't have a ton of huge games.
Yeah, you can't. No, you gotta make it up to me. This Metroid Prime 4 is supposed to be this year. But that kind of touched on one other thing, almost, which is that like. Really bizarre listing for Link to the Past.
Yeah.
Now, that one was strange.
I'm most like, interested in this one, though.
Like, the weird thing about it is because, like, their computer had a listing for Link's Awakening, so it wasn't a mistake. Yeah. But, it could have been a mistake anyhow, you know. It could have been someone entered a second listing accidentally. But, let's just run wild for a second here. Like, if true, like, you know, if that would be in their computer, that would mean it would be like a retail sort of release. So, like, almost like I'm imagining like Link's Awakening. Like, it's a remake with that art style, which I would so be down for.
That one was strange, especially being that because they had Skyward Sword. No, they had Twilight Princess and Wind Waker as well. So, it's like.
They had both of those in the listing, too.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Ooh, nice.
So yeah, because those you already have HD ports from the Wii U versions. So those I just suspect it would come anytime. Again, something they probably finish and just holding off to the right time. Persona 5, I think, is one that's kind of been hinted at with how Atlus has been handling it, and like we'll get more information and stuff like that. But yeah, I think Link to the Past is the one that's kind of has everybody like, wait, what's going on here? Because we do have a Link's Awakening remake, and
why not just do the same thing? I mean, I'm sure it's a lot of work, maybe, but
it's weird that you wouldn't have like announced that one though, right?
Yeah,
because we know they're doing the one. It's like, are you really gonna drop two Zelda games? Like, what if they do like an Oracle fucking thing, like same day? Oh.
I don't think they're going to do that.
Oh!
Okay.
We're just blowing Jeff's mind right now. He's blowing his own mind.
Imagine. Or like they kind of did that with like Metroid 2 once, where it was like Metroid Fusion and Metroid Prime, I think, came out on the same day.
Yeah. And then if you connected them, you got an extra costume or something like that.
Two of the best Metroid games on one day, dude. Like... so cool. I know some people don't like Fusion, but I think it's pretty good.
So there was another Nintendo rumor, though?
Oh, not rumor. This is fact. This was confirmed by Nintendo, is that, you know, that they have the Nintendo Labo VR thing coming out next week. So as part of that rollout, they're going to patch free support for VR for Mario Odyssey and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Mario Odyssey seems to be like its own, like it's a mini mission, like three missions in some of the game's older original levels, just redesigned for VR. And then it looks like Breath of the Wild is just playing the game in VR, which I don't get because it's still just a game, so I assume it's just you wearing the helmet on your face
while you play the game. Playing like third-person games was kind of cool in VR too. Like it's different. Like you're in the world. It's weird. But I don't. I don't know how this fucking is gonna work with a stupid labo thing or whatever. So I have no idea. But
yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, out of that field. And I mean, as far as like an incentive, it's a nice way if you already are getting labo. I don't think it's necessary. Like, oh my gosh, I need to go out and get one now. But I assume if you have a Switch, no. Most people probably have Odyssey and Breath of the Wild in around anyhow. So if you get it, it's nice to be like, oh, there's other games you can use it with.
Yeah. I mean, I would check that shit out. I'll never buy Nintendo Labo or whatever. Fuck that. I've always thought it looks stupid.
I think the concept looks cool. It's just I don't have place to store cardboard.
Yeah. I mean, I have places to store cardboard, but cardboard is trash in my house.
Me too. It's called trash.
Ed, I guess on that note,
speaking of trash.
But I was going to say that Ubisoft actually came out this week and said that Starlink was under expectations.
No shit.
And that they're no longer going to produce any toys for it.
That's a shame.
So, I mean, it doesn't sound like they're going to give up on the games itself, but going forward, there will be no more actual toys raised for it.
Well, at least the one thing that they did that I thought was really cool about Starlink was, like, you could buy, like, a digital version of it that had everything.
Yeah.
Like,
which is great, but also backwards, because it's like, why would I buy the toy version
right. If
it's cheaper to just go digital and get everything?
Some people like that shit, I guess, you know.
I mean, I did buy the physical version for the Switch because of the Air Wing.
Did you play that game? Like, yeah, did you like it?
Cool.
I thought about it because it's been on sale so many times, like, for, like, you know, super discounted.
It's super repetitive, but it's fun. And I think, like, the Nintendo portions, like, so you can play as, like, Star Fox, and he has, like, his buddies with him. And there's obviously cutscenes that were very much designed for, like, the game as a whole, for, like, the PS4 and Xbox One. And they shoehorn, like, the Star Fox characters in, like, so they have, like, their own storyline adjacent to this, but they are kind of sometimes in scenes that are have nothing to do with anything. They're just kind of, like, standing around and,
like, Flippy, why are you here? What is
going on? Yeah, that's pretty. I mean, pretty much, like, there's a cutscene that it's like, oh, we're just hanging around in case you need our help, because it's like. Like, they have to design it in such a way that the Star Fox characters are doing their own thing, but you still kind of want them for their core game. So, yeah, it's really, there's a scene where it's just like, oh, yeah, we figured we'd just hang around and help out if you need us. And I'm like,
so okay. Goofy.
You do you.
And it's, I don't know. It's funny the way they incorporate that into it, but.
Or try to incorporate it.
Yeah, they don't do a great job of it, but it is funny how they try to work around that. But yeah, the gameplay is fine.
I think it's fun. I but it's also kind of not repetitious. I guess, yeah, it is repetitious after a while. It's just like, go to this place, fight these enemies, shoot this tower, rinse and repeat.
Yeah, it's like, it's not something you're going to sit down and play 3 hours of. But yeah.
I think the Star Fox stuff adds a bit of variety, just because because it's Star Fox, the villain has personality, but also a lot of it is also, there's a lot more dog combat, like going to actual space stations and taking out a bunch of ships and stuff like that, which a lot of the other missions are more ground-based.
Yeah, because your ship crashes early on and...
Yeah, shit, you go into a planet and just trying to reclaim as much territory as you can.
Yep. But anyway, I don't think anybody's played Starlink recently, so.
No, there's supposed to be an update soon, I think. So are we doing news first or impression? Are we
gonna... Well, Well, do you have anything else news-wise? I mean, I was going to maybe bring up BioWare, but...
Yeah, I figured that would be a bigger discussion, but I wanted to bring up the Drive Club stuff.
Okay, I have not heard
this. Oh, that Drive Club VR and Drive Club bikes are being delisted from the PlayStation Store at the end of August. And just, you know, like, again, with that conversation about the nature of the digital future of gaming when companies can't even really be guaranteed that they're going to continue selling these games.
Their own games? Like,
yeah.
They're Sony's games.
They're Sony games. And I remember when they were coming out, at least the original Drive Club, it was like one of these big titles for Sony. And what, four or five years later, it's like, it's not going to exist anymore on the PlayStation 4. I guess not a PS3 title, it's a PS4 title.
Yeah. Nuts.
Yeah, and I don't know if anything's changed with that, but yeah, it's one of those things a lot of people have not taken it well. Like, I guess, I mean, I don't get it, but I get the concept where, like, you know, Marvel Ultimate Alliance is a prime example. That's been delisted like 3 or 4 times now, and that's usually when the license expires with whichever company's holding it currently.
Yeah, so I wonder if, like, whatever license Sony signed with
The car manufacturers,
yeah.
It's still weird. Like, I understand, like, maybe not making new copies, but the listing it so nobody can buy it is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that happening on the 360. I mean, you mentioned it with Marvel Ultimate Alliance, but I remember, like, Mortal Kombat, like, faded off a couple times.
Didn't Ubisoft just do it with Assassin's Creed 3?
Oh, they the only one you can now get is the remastered version of that, yeah.
Well, that just seems like just shady business practice.
Yeah.
Weird thing with this, though, is, like, isn't it a game that is rendered useless also, like, without their, like, support? Like, it's like, yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah,
right?
I think,
like,
it's always online, I think. I've never paid it.
Because, like, even if you own it, and
It wouldn't be worthwhile anyway.
Yeah.
You can do anything.
It's like people who still had Silent Hills or PH or whatever that was called on their PlayStation 4s.
Mag.
Mag. The other example I was thinking of was Tetris. Tetris is a big one because the rights for that franchise just jumps around so much that a lot of those versions get delisted really quickly.
Yeah.
What else do we have? Oh, the Sega Genesis Mini was announced.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Like, I already have that Sega Genesis collection, but that Sega Genesis collection does not have Bloodlines.
But what I'm hoping is that actually ends up in, like, the Castlevania collection.
I know. Save me from buying this fucking thing. But, like, what if that's like an indication of, like, you know, what they're kind of going for this? Because they had a couple good choices too besides that, where it was like, it's different from what their usual fucking, like, they've been trying out the same Sega Genesis collection basically for, like, since the PS2 era. Like, there's minor switch ups in the library, but it's like, here's Bloodlines, that's something different. Like, so hopefully there's more of that. But yeah, I'm with you, Chris. I thought the same thing. I was like, well, there's that Castlevania collection coming. Because I want to buy this fucking thing for Bloodlines if it comes down to it.
Ironically, I was going to say the first thing that came to mind is Sega was the one who started these whole, like, retro console stuff. So there's a bunch of actual Genesis out there that just really terrible.
Yeah.
So,
bad games too, kind of, some of them. Like, half of the games are bad, you know?
Well, I mean, the thing with them, a lot of them, is that it's by Sega, but it's like, oh, we'll put Genesis games, and then we'll just put, like, 50 random games. Because to them, that whole idea was like, oh, there's 100 games on this, and it's down to better to people. Yeah. Where this one, I think, one, it's not done by the company who does the normal Sega.
This isn't at games this time around.
Yes. So I'm really curious to see what how this does, just because there is even after the NES Classic came out, they tried to do that push again where they had some of these on the market and people didn't bite because of the crappy reputation they had. So I'm curious if that's hurt it, or people are going to see this like, oh, this is the real Sega now.
I hope. I mean, one way, I guess we have to actually see what the hardware does and if it plays the, because like the emulation on those at games consoles were bad. Like they, the Genesis games actually played
the sound was off.
Yeah. But if they can get this right, I hope that it works out. But also, I don't know if the nostalgia is there, because Sega has been releasing all these collections
and it's like I'd rather almost have it that way, where it's like it's just on my Xbox or it's on my Switch. I have some games that, like, again, I don't really play them either, but
I do like the aesthetic of the mini console.
Sure.
But I don't even have my like NES Mini and SNES Mini hooked up anymore. Like
they're in a drawer right under the TV. Just like,
I hooked up my NES Mini Classic. I played that for like a day. It was fine. I bought a Super Nintendo one and I never take it out the box. I was just like, at this point, I'm just buying it because it looks nice. But like it's not that I enjoy old games. It's just like you're never in the mood for like, oh man, I really feel like an NES game right now.
I did play through at least one full game on it. I got the NES, I played Zelda 2, and then on NES, I played Castlevania 4. Four, I want to say, but all the way through.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Any other news?
Borderlands 3 got an official release date this week. It's September 19th, I think, or September 13th.
Yes.
I said this last week when we talked about it. Borderlands has had the most awkward and backwards rollout I've seen in a long time, because we talked about the press conference that they had. So and then weird. It's like, oh, we'll have more details for you next week. And then it just turns out to be the release date. And the release date is like, oh, we'll have first gameplay for you in May. And I'm like,
why couldn't they have done that at the announcement? Like, the
announcement. Like, what so was
there? There were two announcements. They wanted to. They really wanted it.
But like, yeah, why hold off on the release date? Like, if you're going to hold off on the release date, it had to be a surprise. Like, it's out this week. Like, to hold it off for a week and be like, oh, it's out in September, isn't worth week. And then being like, oh, here's the release date, and then you'll get to see gameplay in a month. It's like, you can, I mean, I will be fair, I did pre-order the game, but it's like, you can pre-order this game without actually seeing any gameplay. And it's like, that's backwards.
And they also pissed off a bunch of PC people by, I guess, going Epic Store exclusive for 6 months or so.
And then they review bombed the earlier Borderlands games.
Yeah,
that's what you do.
To get a life. Speaking of get a life, are we all getting this?
Borderlands? I'm not excited for it at all, but if everyone gets it, I would
I'm
probably.
I'm excited, but if you guys were all going to get it, like, I would.
That's the only way I enjoyed playing Borderlands 2.
Right.
So.
I regretted getting Borderlands 2 because I played a ton of Borderlands 1 with people, and then nobody seemed to be wanting to play Borderlands 2.
And I played Borderlands 1, 2, and the pre-sequel more times than I'd like to confess, just because I've always enjoyed, like usually I would have friends, and it's like, oh, I'm going to play with you. Then those people fall off and you start a new game with somebody else. I think
you're
I
always getting bigger and better. Like
Earl is more like than we are, I think, is what I'm hearing.
It's
like,
just,
I want to play with you.
It's
fuck
it's,
you, Tony. Fuck you.
Yeah. And like Chris said, there are some very passionate people. There are people who are more passionate about the Epic Game Store than they are about certain other things in the gaming community, and I just find that very ludicrous, but I guess it's to be expected.
This devotion to, like, Steam, which, whatever, like, I don't know, it's so weird.
It's weird, especially because it's weird in the sense that, like, Steam was an exclusive PC platform store for the longest time, and nobody questioned it.
Right.
And the thing, I guess the worst thing is you're not paying for either one of them. It's like, oh, I have to pay for Steam. I have to pay for the Epic Games Store. They're both free storefronts.
Yeah, it's just literally you can't have everything in one place. It's like.
And I think even you can, though, like.
It essentially is. It's, yeah.
It's just, one, it's all on your PC, but also, I don't know how the Epic Store actually operates, but. I know that, like, I can import to Steam, like, games that are not Steam games. So I can, like, launch them from Steam. Like, it launches the other launcher. But
I mean, right. I kind of get in a sense that, like, I like to buy most of my shit off of Amazon just because I have my shit entered into there, my credit card's on there, I got Amazon Prime, you know, like, it's just, like, but at the same time, like, I'm not going to bitch about having to use two different fucking apps on my computer.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I get that.
Whatever, dude.
I get Amazon, but if Best Buy had it cheaper, are you going to be like, oh, I don't want it from Best Buy?
No, exactly. It's just like, it's, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that.
Oh, well.
And then I guess your final piece of news you wanted to discuss.
Yeah, it was, I guess that BioWare diatribe came out, like the investigative report from Jason Schreier at Kotaku, detailing the nightmare that Anthem development was and kind of the disarray that BioWare is in.
Yeah.
Did you guys read it? Or?
I didn't read all of it. It's pretty long.
It's super long, but I mean, there's a lot of information there. Yeah, it's probably too long for actual journalism. Like nobody pays attention. Nobody pays attention to something like that. It's just too long.
We need shit like that. I just embarrassed to admit I did not read it all, but I read a big portion of the beginning and
the end
of it.
That's to say, you're like, we need more like this, but I didn't read the whole thing myself.
Right, exactly.
Someone did. People did. You know,
people did,
there,
but
like, information's out
but,
there.
But like, even if you go to Twitter and stuff, what people are doing are taking certain paragraphs and highlighting that. Because, I mean, it, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily a scientific fact, but it has been shown that usually if you have to read more than 5 minutes, people are just going to check out.
Most people don't click on the article. Most people just read the, like, whatever's on the Twitter.
Yeah. Well, but if you are reading the article, most people still would only read about 5 minutes of it.
Well, I mean, that's been a rule since the beginning of newspapers where it's like you have to start with the lead. Like, you know, the information basically needs to be in the first sentence. Like, the important idea needs to be in the first sentence because most people aren't going to read much more past the first couple sentences.
Like, know? I mean, it's a psychological thing, too. It's like, why are you sandwich stuff? Because the thing most people remember are the beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so anything else in the middle is just fluff.
Well, and it's not.
It's not fluff, but like, for people, that's the takeaway.
In this case, it's like, I know I can get everything I need to know from the beginning to the beginning and the end of it, and then I can, if I want to dive into, like, the you know, blow-by-blow of this, I guess I could, but did you guys get out of it?
I was about to say, because the beginning and end you don't need because everybody knows the story. Anthem came out, it's not a great game, it's been critically panned, both by critics and fans, and it's a commercial, whatever. It's the kind of details in between, like the culture that persisted at BioWare.
I think we're gonna fuck around for 5 years.
BioWare like, magic,
yeah. And then like, oh, we need to get something out, so we're gonna turn it on and crunch for 2 years straight. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of what I got out of it. I think that is the gist of the story, right? Like. Like, it would be a lot of. There's a lot of little things to add on to that. It's like poor management, bad meetings, like meetings where things didn't get solved, but everyone just walked away because the meeting was over, and like shit like that. Like, it's all sorts of fucking things like that.
And like, there's also there seemed to be.
It's not just one thing either. It's not. It's just you can point at the corporation is bad. It's just all. Sorts of things.
Well, I think you brought up one of the big takeaways for me, which is the line about BioWare magic, in that eventually the game will come together.
Out of working on a bunch of overtime in the last year. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because it does seem like, I think one of the big problems with the game, from what it sounded like in that piece, is that there was never a grand vision of what it was.
Everybody had it. If we assemble enough parts, we're gonna
make something.
We're gonna Frankenstein this thing in the last fucking 6 months.
Yeah,
and like we've done it before. We're the BioWare magic, like that's,
right.
That's
like, kind like,
of what I get out of it.
Like we're gonna hobble together some gameplay, and
this is how we do it. We're fucking soldiers. We'll get done.
And our story will be what kind of carries us through.
We got this, bro.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they got it anymore.
I
know it does not sound great.
I did not play that game, but I've heard nothing but good. Or not good stuff.
Come on, you've heard me rail on it a bunch of times.
I mean, it didn't seem like anyone was happy with it. So,
Earl,
even people that wanted to leave.
Why am I saying Earl? Don is very happy. He's so happy. Yeah, he liked it. I see him playing it sometimes.
He loves that loop, though.
Yeah, he loves that loop shooter.
And I think there are people who there are a few people who have enjoyed the loop. And I think, I mean, I tell you, it looks like it's a decent enough shooter. It's just that, like, and I think it goes to even, like, they mentioned in the article that the original name for the game was Beyond, and they couldn't copyright that, so they went with Anthem, and how they kind of jerry-rigged the game backwards to have Anthem mean something.
Well, everyone was just like, what the fuck is Anthem? Yeah, like, what is that? That means nothing.
Beyond was originally, like, you know, you're going outside the you're going beyond the walls of the city of the settlement.
Yeah, you're going out to explore with your friends. Also, like, I don't know how the actual game itself really plays, but like the idea of like, hey, you're going out on a mission with your friends. You're gonna, like, embark on a journey, go do this fight and come back. Like, that sounds like a cool idea. I don't know. Is the game like that at all?
It's very disjointed, but in a way, I guess.
Yeah, it's. I mean, when it works, sure, it can be. The problem is that it's just so technically flawed. Like, you get dropped from stuff all the time. It's very hard to get any sort of momentum. Like, the game is cool. It's fun to play. The shooting is okay. Moving through the environment is awesome. But the game just fails you so often that kind of stuff just isn't enough.
It's like,
just work. God damn it, just work.
The nutso development of, like, they, you know, they started working on Frostbite with Inquisition, and it caused them a whole bunch of problems. And, you know, they worked on it again with Andromeda, caused them a whole bunch of problems. The exact same problems, in fact, that Inquisition caused them. But they, like, reworked that instead of, like, taking what they learned from Inquisition and moving that to Andromeda. They, like, created a whole new solution for it, and they did it again with Anthem. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, you fix a problem once and you use that solution.
Yeah, it's
the wheel.
But again, it sounds,
it's
like
it's like Sonic the Hedgehog series. It's always trying to reinvent it every time.
It sounds like, I mean, and it was, because I think one of the first things that came out even before they published the article was, I think Kotaku got a response from them being that, like, don't believe everything you read on the internet, essentially. And, like, I know no company's gonna be like, oh, we're sorry we screwed up, but, like, it's really tone deaf to just be like, everything's fine as well.
Right.
When people paid Anthem, Mass Effect Andromeda also didn't come out with, like, you know, a ringing endorsement from your audience. So at some point, you have to realize that there is something going on that people aren't connecting with.
And then their response just seems so tone deaf. Like basically, like, what was it, 15 minutes after the article published, and this is a huge article, they, like, you know, basically saying that, oh, it's not true.
And then, like, also kind of like, oh, this isn't helpful. Fuck you.
Well, and then I guess the word today from Schreier was, like, you know, his sources within BioWare are stating that management's response internally has been just don't talk to press. Like, not hey, we need to, you know, fix this, and we understand things are bad. Don't talk to press. Wonderful. I think what I came out of it going is like EA needs to get a tighter rein on their studios, though.
Which is ironic, because you would never think that would be a thing somebody would say, is that EA needs to be tougher on their studios.
Right. Well, and like, you know, you always hear the kind of line that, oh, EA is the cause for all this. And I think in a way they are, but it's because they've given too much autonomy to
right. They're like, they've taken EA as the blank check. Okay, now we can just go and do whatever the hell we want, as opposed to holding to themselves to some sort of standard.
Right, and eventually EA comes around and goes, hey, we gave you that check. We now need something to put out. Like, you guys need to produce something. And then they turn on their BioWare magic.
Right.
Right. But yeah, I'm curious if that BioWare magic, I mean, you know, it is what it is, but I'm curious if fans see it that way, because after two critical pans in a row, that illusion of them being like this prestige RPG factory is kind of broken.
Yeah. No, I was trying to explain this to somebody else. Like, that idea that, you know, this is still the company that made, you know, Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2 and like those older games, like, that hasn't been this company for years now.
Like, yeah, it's been a long time.
Because what, Mass Effect 2 was 2009?
Yeah, so a decade. Like, and people have left and people have come back, but it is not the same company that they were when EA bought them. And I'm not blaming EA for that. Like, obviously there's management problems within that company that need to be fixed, but this idea that it's still the same company that brought us like Knights of the Old Republic and Jade Empire and Mass Effect, like, no.
Not so much, no.
Oh, well. Well, Earl is leaving us shortly, so
let's... How dare you, Earl?
Oh, I thought there was one more thing you wanted to discuss, or are you not going to discuss that?
The difficulty. We could bring it up. I thought we'd talk about it with Jeff, you know.
Oh, because he's playing the game?
He was playing Sekiro, or was. but yeah, Jeff, tell us about Sekiro, and then maybe we can jump into difficulty.
Yeah, I mean, difficulty. You know, we just came from software, guys make Dark Souls, all that. It's a really good game. It does some really awesome things that are different from Dark Souls, like in terms of just like movement and action. It feels more like an action game, you know, this sense of kind of freedom of movement, and like, you know, it has a cool kind of traversal system in it where you know, your left hand is like this hook shot basically, and there's different attachments you can put on it, but you know, you mainly use it to get around the world. All that stuff's awesome. It has that usual From Software magic to it. It also has some things that are really cool now because it is not online. You could pause the game. I mean,
it's a big change, though.
I like it, yeah, because you could be in the middle of a boss fight and whatever, you don't do anything. You know,
rest your hand.
You know, the way you do it in Dark Souls, you just find like a dead place to rest. You know, usually around your bonfire or whatever, and just stand there and, you know, go do what you have to do and come back. But, you know, and there's, it's so funny because, like, the IGN review is like, said that it was, like, slightly easier. And, like, there are things that are easier on paper. Like, you could fucking, you get killed, you come back to life. Like, one time. That's, like, the name of the game is, like, Shadows Die Twice. Like, you get to die twice before it's over, you know, with an encounter, and then you start back over. You don't, it's, they call it like corpse running. Like, you don't, like, you're not chasing after souls after you get killed, like, and worried about losing them. You actually just instead lose like half of your fucking whatever experience that you have not spent. And you know, there's no way to get it back if you die. It's just that's how it is.
So there's no like recapturing the souls.
Yeah. So but like you're not really worried about it at some point. You know what I mean? Like right. you know to spend what you have, and then if you have just a little bit, you're gonna lose it when you're fighting this boss. Again, whole lot of things I like about it. I've got probably about a dozen hours into it. I was probably about, if I had to guess, because I've played a lot of their games, I'd have to guess I was somewhere between a third to halfway through the game before I said no. Like, I'm done with this because
it's too hard, Jeff.
Yeah, it's kind of boss after boss at some point. Like, I was having fun when I had three or four different directions I could go and explore areas and fight enemies in those areas and fight little mini bosses. No matter which direction you went after a while, like, you just kept on running into, like, bosses that are really, like, first off, the bosses are really, really hard right from the beginning. And it never lets up. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And to the point, it was just, like, constant misery. And I was like, why am I doing this? Like, this sucks, dude. So I stopped playing it.
Just kind of why I don't play their games.
But the thing is, like, Dark Souls is not as hard as this. Like, it's just not. And I get what you're saying, but it's like, the thing about Dark Souls for me is I never thought it was hard because it's like, the only hard part really other games is the boss fights. It's like, if you're having a problem with the boss, just summon people and they help you. Like, that's the thing is, like, they've never been really hard to me at all. You know, like, yeah, like, sometimes, like, you know, it's not to say I never beat bosses on my own Dark Souls. I did. But, like, sometimes if I was having a problem with a boss, I'd just summon someone, and that was it. Well, here you can't do that. And here the bosses are all kind of, like, wicked fucking nasty. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, it's a faster-paced and more aggressive game to begin with. But, like, right. It's just, even people who are, like, super good experts, like, that's what's so funny about IGN's review is, like, even the people that are, like, great at Dark Souls are like, this is hard. Like, it's kind of brutal and unforgiving in a way. It's like, it does, like, they finally crossed the line. You know what I mean? Sucks, because, like, I do really think it's a really well-made game in a ton of ways, but I can't do it anymore. Like, I can't get past anything. And, like, I've, like, three or four little bosses I could fight right now. I couldn't do anything to any of them. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. And
it's not being fun at a certain point, right? Like,
it does, but it's like I almost have sympathy now with people who don't like the Dark Souls games, but it's like Dark Souls is not like that. Like, you could get help. Like, you could get past anything in Dark Souls, no problem. Like, and people will say, oh, you're a pussy for doing it. Well, they put it in the game. It's part of the game. So it's like, I don't feel like an asshole for using it. Here, they just left it out, and I have to, you know, I can still beat the bosses. Like, if you persist, you will figure it out. But it's like, it became so fucking nasty in this that it was not worth the work that I was doing to get there. Like, I don't know. For some people, they'll get over it, and they, like, actually, there's a few people, like, I follow on Twitter and stuff, have already, like, platinumed it and shit, so.
Yeah.
There's people that get past it, but.
So, something that kind of, like, blew up over the last, maybe a week and a half or so, is that some people have been, I don't think I've seen any demands, but, like, hey, like, maybe From could add some sort of difficulty level or accessibility options to allow, you know, other people to experience these games. Like, what's your take on that? Like,
I mean, if they wanted to do it, sure, but I don't think that they should feel obligated to do it because someone fucking is pissed about it. Like, And I do feel that it isn't. I think it's a kind of a bullshit expectation for us to think that you should be able to beat any game you play. Especially that, like, people our age who grew up on games that were impossible to like, have this expectation that everyone should be able to beat every game they buy. I don't agree with it.
I will just say, to kind of give the conversation some favor, I think part of what also gets lost in the shuffle is that people want an easy mode, but that conversation is also attached to the point that people want accessibility in games, yeah. And that not necessarily easy mode, but there are people who physically cannot play this game and there are no alternative or options for them. And that is part of the conversation that kind of gets lumped in when people want to make this point about putting in this accessibility.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't get that argument. Like, what does that mean? Like, so if people who have disabilities are not as good at games,
no, like they physically
or they can't, yeah, I know,
play the game, okay. Because of
I can't play the game.
No,
that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, that's different.
But you can
play, okay,
you
can play the game. Like, I can't do everything either. Like, I don't understand. I think it's a weird. I don't get it. Like,
well, it's like,
so maybe certain games are harder for people to play who have disabilities. So I mean, what do you
or do about impossible for them to play?
Okay, but you can't do anything about that.
But like, what do you can't do?
That's the thing. There are literally things that you can do to improve, you know, to give accessibility, to give them a chance to experience your game.
I mean, there's a lot of little things you can do. I think one of the most, you know, the most prevalent examples you see nowadays that I feel like has already kind of come up in recent years is a lot of games now include a colorblind mode, so that they will have contrasting colors that people who may be colorblind can actually play and differentiate items in the environment. And we've seen stuff with like the Xbox One adaptive controller that there are people who are working on that stuff.
Yeah.
But something like this game, I think one of the big hurdles is because it has such a tiny window of timing that people who are, you know, disabled in certain ways can't react in that same fashion, no matter what input they're using.
I mean, I hear you, but it's just like, so what? You can't have games that are like that, you know? It's like,
well, what's that?
There are physical games that they can't play in the real world.
I don't think anybody's saying you can't have games that are like that. But like, what's the harm in adding something like that? That's really what I find fascinating about this is that like the people that adding it, like who cares if From Software adds in an easy mode or accessibility options in some way that allow other people to experience it? How does that like these people almost feel like it's an affront to them?
I have a weird, like, in the middle stance of, like, if From Software did that, I'd be like, that's fine. But, like, I don't demand that of them to do it, and I'm not...
Nobody's demanding that.
Expect them to do it, or I don't feel like people should be obligated to have easy mode if they don't want to put it in their game. If they want to do it, do it. If they don't want to do it...
Yeah, and I don't think that's what we're saying here. I think do you have a problem with them adding something like this?
No, see, and, like, I don't. I don't. Like,
that's what I'm seeing from a lot of people here is like, oh, fuck that. Like, it's against the integrity of the game. It's against the artistic vision. Like, nobody's saying that to change their artistic vision. Like, we don't even know what the fuck their artistic vision is. Like, because we're not talking to the developers right now. We're just saying, hey, wouldn't it be cool if more people could play your game? And like the fans are the ones going, "Oh, fuck you."
To be clear, I am saying I think Sekiro should be a little bit easier. Like, I think they took the scales. They went too far.
And I don't know. I look at Celeste last year, right? Like,
I think that's a really cool solution they had in that.
Yeah, like, but like, I did not activate the accessibility options. Like Pete did, but we both got to experience the game in our own way, and it did. Like him doing that did not take anything away from me, like beating it without it.
I think, though, as someone who finally did turn it on and messed with it, it's like it takes away from you playing it. Like when you're playing on easy, it takes away from like what the point of that game is to get good at the level.
It doesn't. It does.
Like, dude, if you can just breeze through it and never have to learn, then you're not learning how to play the game. You might as well watch a YouTube video.
I will say this much, and I've said this much. I've held this stance for years. I've always found video games fascinating, but I think it's odd that it's the only hobby that you can be bad at. In the sense that you can't be bad at watching a movie, you can't be bad at reading a book, but you can be bad at playing a video game, and people want to hold that against you. Because it's like we've had similar conversations, not just with accessibility, but also like we've had it with story-driven games where people are like, oh, you should have an option for people who don't necessarily want to engage in the gameplay itself but want to see how the story plays out, to have like either a video mode or some way to kind of abbreviate the gameplay in between segments. And my initial reaction was that was dumb. But I do see the point in that there are a ton of video games, and we've seen this with achievements and trophies, where the mass majority of people who buy the game never get to see the full product through. And I get your point that, you know, they need to get better, or every game's
worth it. How many games did I play when I was a kid? I only played the first two levels. Like,
but that's different. That's different from you choosing not to continue with the game, and you wanting to continue with the game and can't.
No, it was because I couldn't. It's because I sucked. I when I think of a video game, I'm also thinking of it as like a game. Like, guess what? I'm not super great at pool. I suck at it.
But you can finish a pool game.
I could lose. But you get a game over, that's a fucking finishing the game. You lost. That game. Like, when you think of it like an arcade game, like, you put a quarter in and you play this experience until you win or lose.
Well,
but you can eventually pay to win. I mean, if you...
I put $40 in eventually.
I'm just saying, I still view games on a kind of fundamental level like that, where it's like, maybe the game's too hard for me. You know? And that's it. That's like, it's just it. Like, I'm not as good at it. Like,
and I don't, and I think it's partially, like, I kind of get your mentality, but I guess it's because my family's at a point where there's a second generation now, I have nieces and nephews, and I understand playing games with them, is that, like, you grew up on, there's a lot of stuff that kind of comes intrinsically with growing up on Nintendo, the Genesis, and stuff like that, that they don't really teach anymore with games. You're supposed to just kind of know all this stuff. Or you're supposed to know the fact that, like, when we started gaming, there were two buttons on a controller and a D-pad. Now there's, 16 buttons on most controllers?
Yeah.
It's knowing that. It's knowing how to function in a 3D space. It's knowing that, you know, that there's a language that you have to speak. And if there's any way that you can either simplify it or make it more accessible for more people, I don't necessarily see the downside. And I don't get this mentality that, like, if you aren't good, you aren't good. Because, like, that does more to turn people off from the industry as a whole than anything else. Like, it doesn't make the... It doesn't make the game itself better or more special. It just means that, yes, people are going to engage with that, and yes, this is why mobile grew up, because you can play mobile games, you can be good at mobile games, you can have fun with mobile games, you don't get frustrated, you don't quit after two levels, you don't go online and get told that this isn't for you, you need to get good.
I'm not saying that,
a lot of people
are. You have to get good. I'm not saying that. Like, I'm just saying that, You know, some games are games of, like, fucking skill, and, like, they could be hard. It's okay to have hard games. And
sure,
I'm not saying that it isn't okay to have hard games, but it's also not a crime to put options in it to help people out if they need.
It's not. It's not. But if you right, play like, Celeste on assist mode, it fundamentally changes the experience of playing that game.
But then doesn't I mean, if I'm playing a game, isn't that my experience? Like, yeah, what does it matter that you like if I play a game and have an experience that is fundamentally different from your experience, what does that matter?
That's fine. That's fine. If you play it and you have fun playing it that way, that's fine. But I'm just saying it is a different experience. Like, you're not experiencing.
But okay, the nature of video games is like most experiences are different for everybody. That's the nature of an interactive medium like video games. It's like, I can play Celeste and play it in a normal way, and I'd take away something different than you would or anybody else, just because it's like what you want from it, what it's given you, and what you expect are always different for each individual.
Right.
Like the example I think of going way back, because Nintendo started this decades ago, is I remember NeoGAF had this huge thing when 3DN introduced the white Tanuki suit. Because they thought that was breaking the game, and it was just making it a baby mode. And the fact of the matter is that thing all you triggers after you die like 18,000 times. And even then, you have to pick to choose it. Yes, and if you're like me, when you saw it, it's an ego breaker. But you still didn't have to use it. It's there for other people so they can progress and actually finish the game. And the hope is that with that little nudge that they can eventually get better and play other games of that arc instead of just being turned off from that whole genre.
That's where I'm at with and like, look, I can play games. I don't have a disability that prevents me from doing it, but I won't buy a From game at this point, because like I know that it's just going to end in frustration for me. So why am I going to give him $60 to bang my head against the wall? I could do that for free in my basement.
I mean, yeah, fair enough. It's like I get it. So, you know, From Software games are not forever. Like, I stopped trying to like,
but also
convince like, people that like you have yeah, to like that, it. It's just like, all right, I get it. If you don't like it, it's
they're not for. But like, there's so much about it that I think would be like. For me, like, I love the aesthetic of Dark Souls. I love the aesthetic of Bloodborne. I kind of like what Sekiro looks like. Like, that's stuff that I enjoy, but I know, like, that's something I can't play because of the way they design their games. Conversely, like, I am terrible at fighting games.
Oh, yeah.
But I can play through Mortal Kombat. Like, I can get that entire, because they, I could turn it down to, like, basically play yourself mode.
Yeah, I know, but like if they didn't do that for me, I would just be like, well then fuck it, I just
wouldn't engage with it. But
I would try, because I just always like to try things, but yeah,
and I think
I would just accept it. Like,
I think Mortal Kombat's a great example, because like, you think of fighting games and you think of like the fighting game community and stuff that comes up would be like Street Fighter and DOA, and but the best-selling fighting game franchise is Smash Brothers and Mortal Kombat, because those are the most accessible ones, because they don't overcomplex things. You don't need to know, you know, microsecond timing to counter moves and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, I can bash buttons and
you're cool.
sometimes. Like, not often, but I could just like smash some buttons and good shit happens.
But yeah, like Mortal Kombat, and I used to say this about the Marvel vs. Capcom games, is that those games had the ability to make you look like you're doing something cool, even if it's just pressing random buttons at times. It made it seem like, oh, okay, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
And even if you didn't know, you want to know, oh, how can I do that again? Well, like I've been playing Street Fighter since the Genesis era, and I still can't play those games. I try, my thumbs just don't really learn how to do quarter circles and full circles. Anything that involves up and down, I usually just end up jumping. And And that is Street Fighter, and they've never really tried to make that more accessible, which is fine. That's their prerogative, but it's why Street Fighter kind of remains, even though it's like the face of fighting games, it kind of remains like the third or fourth tier fighting franchise to the mass audience.
Street Fighter does?
Yeah, I mean, Mortal Kombat sells better than it. Smash Brothers sells better than it. And I want to say Tekken sells better than it.
Wow. And
Tekken is very similar. It's a little more complex than Mortal Kombat, but like it's still a game that I could just kind of go and smash. Shit happens.
I've played Tekken back on like the PS2 and shit, and it's like, it's way more approachable than Street Fighter. I agree with Earl too. It's like I just could never figure out like that half circle move type shit. Like this digital input on Mortal Kombat feels so much better. It's like you press down back or you know back or whatever the fuck it is. It's a button, not just like swinging the fucking stick around and then press a button. I don't know. I could never figure it out or get into that style of fighting game.
And there are people who can, but yeah, it's a smaller portion of the gaming audience. And it's one of those things that, like, fundamentally, it's why Street Fighter is never really... Again, I don't want to sound like Street Fighter is like a hobo in the street asking for money. It's a franchise that does well. But the fact of the matter is there's like three or four other fighting game franchises that does much better than it does. And you can see from what you do with it, that part of the reason it does much better is because it's so much easier, even as a newcomer, to okay, you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, we're glad that you don't that you're not against adding accessibility.
I would love an easy mode in Sekiro. Trust me on this. But again, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not. Okay, I'm not saying they have to add it.
Like, oh well, I guess I wasted my $60. I don't even feel like I wasted my $60. I got like a dozen hours out of that game I really loved, so or loved to hate. But
I just like for more people to be able to love to hate it as well.
Well, that's the thing I don't get. Like when you say like. Again, I don't want to like belabor the point, but like you could summon people to help you with bosses, you know, like, or is it just like in general, it's too hard, do you think?
I mean, like, I got about a third of the, I don't even know if I got a third of the way through Dark Souls, and I put like 70 hours into it.
Damn.
I was playing on PC, like, when I would summon, nobody would fucking show up.
See, yeah, shit has changed since then, dude. Like, the networking is like way better.
But that was also like that was the experience of what that how that they kind of gave me those first experiences, and that does set like something in your head, like kind of sets a nasty sour taste. Like you continue with it, but like I did not. Like the idea of them. That's not even the idea of them. Like I like the aesthetic. I kind of like what that world looks like. But yeah. I don't know. I just had such a bad experience with it the first time around that I don't want to return to bang my head against the wall.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, yeah, it's a little, like, it's a lot better now in terms of, like, networking and, like, you know, getting players to help you. And I would suggest Dark Souls 3, but, you know, again, like, I just know it's just not for everybody. So it's just, like, I get it. You tried it. You didn't like it.
Yeah. Earl has left us.
Damn it, Earl!
He just said peace out.
He did. He actually overextended. He did say he needed to leave at midnight, but
he didn't say bye though.
We're still just talking, so he was. did you play anything else, Jeff?
I've played many things.
Is there something you want to talk about?
I mean, I might as well talk about, like, I bought two games that came out today on the Switch.
Okay. It's brand new stuff.
Yeah. So, brand new game. It's called Mextermination Force.
Okay.
It's, like, $12. It's made by the guy that made Gunman Clive, which I think was a 3DS game.
Yeah.
If not, a DS game?
Yeah.
Did you like that game? I never played it.
It's all right.
So this game is basically controls like Contra and like, you know, it's like a 2D action game like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a series of, I think, 15 boss fights. So like, I saw one review be like, it's like Contra meets Shadow of the Colossus.
Okay.
So it's just like big, long, like crazy boss fights. Yeah. So it starts off with like a tutorial one that's super easy that just like teaches you the controls. And then there are two boss fights after that. They're extremely hard. So like you could do one or the other. Or you know what I mean? Like you could tackle whichever one you want to first. But they're really, really fucking hard. I've beaten one of them. The other one I've not beaten yet. And I think I'm hoping it like, because from what I heard from what one review that I read was that like you could kind of fucking go back and grind and like play old bosses because you could level up in this. Like you collect money and you buy like more hearts and shit.
Right.
And all sorts of shit. But like, yeah, you could like build up your health. I'm like, so, but it's like I can't really grind on the boss I'm at because he's not giving me any experience fighting him for whatever reason. The other boss that I just beat, like the first one that I beat, like he gave tons, but he's gone now. They won't let me go back to fight him. But I think it opens up later where you can go back and fight all the bosses, if you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
But it's hard. This game's hard. It's like brutal fucking. And it's like, it's not hard in like that it's like bullet hell or anything. It's like that you have to do something on each of the bosses. It's kind of like.
You have to do something
on, yeah, what do you have to do on them?
Well, it's like, you know how like in like Zelda, it's like you have to figure out what the puzzle is of the boss. Well, it's like the same thing here, but it's like some sort of hard platforming challenge or some shit. Like, get like this one boss, he punches three times, and you have to jump on each fist so that you jump up to his head, and then you have to hit him in the head three times. But jumping on the fist is so fucking goddamn hard that to pull that off, that's the thing that makes it hard. It's not that like there's 800 bullets coming at you at once. Maybe that it gets like that later in the game. I don't know, but it's like
finding the timing to.
It's being good at responding to the specific moves that this boss is doing. The other boss I had was this centipede that like he would like stand up on his back. And you had to like kind of climb up his legs, but you had to shoot up at his legs to get him to open up. And it was like a very brief window where you could jump up between his legs before his legs closed back together again. Like it was just like really hard to pull off. Like you had to be like kind of perfect three times in a row on each boss. And I'm like, dear God, I think this is what this game is going to be, which is like really good, but also really challenging. So, but for $12, if you're into like Contra style game, I'd say like I have no regrets about buying it. Like we'll see how I feel a week from now, but
right.
You know, even if I hate it, it was $12. Like whatever, man.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I also bought this game called Hob, which I guess came out probably a year or so ago on PC and maybe PlayStation.
PS4, yeah.
Yeah. Have you played this?
No, I wanted to. It's by the guys that made Torchlight, I believe.
Yes, yeah. And it's kind of like an isometric Zelda-type game, and I'm probably about 45 minutes into it, and despite the fact that it has, like, it's a kind of an awkward opening where it's like, one of those kind of like artsy-fartsy games where they're like, instead of like the dude explains something to you, he's just like, oh, you know, point in a direction, and you're like, oh, I guess I have to figure out what the puzzle is over there. Like,
right.
Like, it doesn't like overly explain anything to you.
Right, it just drops you in.
Yeah. But like, once I'm kind of getting my bearings down, I'm like, okay, now I got a sword and I have a shield. Like, it takes a little bit before you even have those things. Like, at the beginning, like, I'm like, this game's not telling me what the buttons are, and like I have no moves. I don't get what's going on here. It's because I didn't have anything. So it's just like kind of the beginning of like Link to the Past. You know, you don't have shit. And then you get a sword, and now I have a shield. And it seems actually pretty good. I'm like not upset with this purchase at all.
It's, is that on Switch too?
Yeah, it's on Switch. It's came out today as on sale as of its release of 10% off. So you can get it for $18 if you want.
Okay.
And so far, what I've played of it, like, I have a feeling this is actually going to be a pretty good game. Like, I'm kind of digging. Like, you have to get over a little bit of awkwardness at the beginning where you're like, what is going on here? What am I supposed to be doing? And this kind of opens up a little bit and you start to figure things out. And yeah, I'm kind of digging it now.
Nice. I think our friend Javi, I think he likes the game as well.
He talked me into it.
Yeah, okay.
He talked me into buying.
So, nice. Tony, you play anything this week?
Far Cry New Dawn, which is, you know, more Far Cry.
Yes, it is.
It's so it's set in the same area as Far Cry 5, but after a nuclear explosion.
Okay.
So basically, humanity went underground and has come out like 20 years later.
So now they really look like Trump supporters?
Well, not really, no. You know, those guys are kind of hidden in a little enclave, those weird guys. The game is probably the best one, like, of that Far Cry style. I like some of the changes that they made. You have, like, this little base, and as you're taking over outposts and like doing stuff in the world, you build up materials which you use to build up your base, which is kind of a cool mechanic. And the base allows your like companions to get stronger, or you to craft new weapons, or to make new vehicles and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of like you play the game so that you can play the game better and get more. It's like there's a nice progression there.
Okay,
and I don't think the other Far Cry games kind of had. Like, it was more like, you played for a while, okay, now you've unlocked this new weapon. And that's kind of not, you try to do things here to get to the kind of progression that you want, which is cool. I think that the game doesn't do a whole lot with the setting. It's kind of a waste that you throw this, like, post-apocalyptic thing with nuclear bombs and all that. And there's literally nothing from it. Like, it's just a normal Far Cry game. Like the only bones they throw to it, they you instead of buying weapons, you craft them. So you like you make your weapons out of junk. But they're all just normal weapons. Like it's like a you want a stealth sniper rifle, so it's got like a soda can instead of a silencer on it. But it's just a stealth sniper rifle. It's like the same thing. The one like post-apocalyptic weapon you get is the first weapon you get in the game, which is like a saw launcher. Like it launches like a circular saw blade.
That sounds fun.
Which is awesome. Which you can like ricochet off the ground or like ricochet through like multiple people. And some like as you upgrade it, you get like a boomerang version. So you send the saw out and then bring it back through people, or like you can do some cool stuff with it, like shoot it around corners, like get homing blades and that kind of thing. So that weapon is really cool, but it's like all you get from like the post-apocalyptic stuff. Like all the settlements are destroyed ish but the world is really vibrant and nice. There's no like radiation. Like if you're looking for monstrous creatures, well, they're like, oh, it's a buffalo that's green, great. as opposed to, you know, cool. A buffalo with claws or something.
Nuclear war happened and it made everything pretty.
Exactly. Like you're walking around, everything's really vibrant and pink, and I mean the world looks great. It's awesome. But you kind of expect nuclear it to fallout. Be like, yeah. Makes everything better. I like it more than Far Cry 5. So
less bland, I guess. Yeah.
More directed. The story, I guess, the story in 5 I found was a big turnoff. Like, those guys were really annoying to deal with. Here, the villains, it's a pair of twins who are, like, harassing the people who live in Hope County now. And you're like fighting them off, but they're not in it a whole lot. Like most of the storyline is you beating up their minions. So, I don't know. You don't really play these games for the story anyway.
No.
You play like B-movies.
Yeah. Fire for some... Everything lights on fire in this game for some reason.
Nice.
Like, hell yeah.
Me fighting the pheasant or whatever it was that was lighting on fire, that was this. Because everything was on fire. And like, you know, all this new plant life that grew up in the post-apocalyptic paradise, you know, burns really easily. So, lots of fire.
I purchased this last week.
Yeah, I either got it last week or the week before. Like, it was $20, and, you know, I had that much credit at Best Buy. I'm like, oh, it's free now. I will take free Far Cry New Dawn, thank you. And I have been pleased with it so far. So.
Nice. I also purchased a new game. First one of these I bought in 11 years. I bought MLB The Show 19.
Yeah, I need to get that. I'm going to wait. The prices on those drop really quickly. So I'm going to wait.
I actually have a fun story about this game.
Okay.
Do you want to hear that?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
I'll try to make this as short as possible. My friend, his Xbox fucking broke on him. So, like, he knows I don't, like, really play my PlayStation 4. He asked if he could borrow it. He's going to buy this game on the PlayStation 4, download it, keep it till like the end of the baseball season. Then he's going to get my PlayStation 4 back, and I have free
baseball.
The show.
You can see who else has been playing it. Like in the game section on there, I was like, Jeff got this.
There you go. There's your explanation.
Like I kind of expected Tony to get it because he right. generally gets them like yearly, but like, all right, well, whatever.
Oh, there you go, mystery solved.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't bought one of these since the PS3. I think it was 08, which was weirdly the last time another Philly was on the cover of one of these games.
I bought, I think it was 16, whatever year that the Cubs won, I have that
okay.
one. And the game's amazing, dude. Like, it's incredible how amazing sports games are now. Like, I'm not even into sports games, but it's unbelievable, you know?
What I really find amazing about this is just the variety of control options. You batting. There's like four different types of batting. Like
you get the classic, classic. Yeah. Press the button.
Yep.
That's how I kind of like
it. Or like you can do it with the analog sticks. I don't know. There's like a bunch of like weird shit. Like I was like, all right. Like I just want to be able to point the analog stick, like left or right, or you know, up or down or whatever, and then press like I think it's like X is a regular. Like a regular swing, you
make
not like a square is like a power swing or whatever. Like that's what I want. Like that's how I ever play baseball. That's how I want to play this. And then it's like all right, so like you get a base running, and it's like they give you like four different options there. It's like, you know, obviously they have their new style of base running, but it's also like, hey, there's classic style, which is like just press like the button like of the base you want to run to, and there's like pitching, and there's like analog pitching and like a bunch of like different, like there's meter pitching. So like you can almost play it like a golf game, or you can just like straight up, like just, hey, like, you know how you used to play it on the Nintendo? You can do that here too.
It's like, you can like calibrate the game exactly how you want it to play, and it plays as good. Like, it's just like, they made it for however you want to play it. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty fucking amazing.
And like, I'm not particularly great at baseball, but like, so like I was playing, and like, I like built up like a big lead. I was like, but then like I quickly lost it, and it was like super exhilarating to like get into like the like 11th inning and like get a guy on base and then hit a double and like bring him home to score. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. the game looks amazing. It does suffer from what all sports games do, and baseball, I think, is maybe one of the worst with it. Is that the announcing gets repetitive.
Oh yeah.
I was playing the demo game while the game was loading. It was Dodgers versus the Red Sox, and I heard like the same line three times in like a few innings. Like, you already said this. The game's still installing and I'm hearing a repeated line.
The golf games do that a lot.
Yeah, they all do. It's like you can only record. Right. Madden's actually really good at it because they record new lines every week
during the season. Yeah,
they probably invest the most in that game too. I would imagine.
Yeah,
NBA 2K does the same thing.
Oh, do they? That's pretty cool. Like I would like, and maybe who knows? Maybe MLB the Show does it as well. We're only a week into the season, so. It'll be nice if we do get different commentary as it goes along.
I really wish I bought Madden when it was on sale. God damn it.
You didn't buy it after all that conversation we had about
it. I was going to, like, because I wanted the one that you guys said was really good, but the one that was on sale was the newest one. I should have just bought the newest one.
Okay, so it was still, like, what, $20, right? Or was it
30? Like, the old one was, like, $30. Okay. You know, for a year old game, and the new one was on sale for like I think 15 or less. I can't remember.
I mean, the
should have got the new one.
18, I think, is the better game, but 19 is not bad.
Exactly. I fucked up. I want to play a Madden game. Like, I haven't played football in forever.
I have not started a franchise in MLB the Show yet, but they do have this. It's like a season type mode, but you only play like certain parts of the season. I picked that, and it like brings you into like the sixth inning of like opening day.
Your
objective is to, like, you know, obviously to win the game. And like if you win it or whatever, you get points that like then go to helping your team when you're not playing those segments. And then so like the next one was, it's like your first road game. So it was like three games later. Like, that baseball is fucking monstrous of a season.
Yeah, I know.
6 months long and like 100, it was at 160.
They did that on actually the last golf game that EA made.
You could like jump around the season.
That's how Rory McIlroy went. Yeah, I think like the game sucked though. Unfortunately, didn't matter. But like that was a good idea.
Yeah, I really like it. Something that, like, I'll, you know, I mean, because you sit down and you play, even just playing like four innings of a game, like, still takes like a good amount of time unless like you're blowing through it. I feel like you're picking your pitches and you're not swinging at everything and.
Give you the pivotal moments here.
Yeah, like you're like playing a decent amount of baseball, but then like I could put it away, but I don't feel like I'm so far behind. Like, actually now I'm ahead. Like the next game that I would play would actually be like Sunday's game, because it would be for the end of the Phillies' next series. So it's like I could keep up with the season playing it this way and like still get like a good amount of it. And then
is that how you're trying to play it?
Yeah, like right now, like that's like I'm probably gonna create like a character too and like try and go like bring them up to the majors that way, but just like trying to keep through and play through the season. I'm playing like those pivotal moments right now, which I think is pretty cool. And I don't know if this is new. I don't remember there being any like baseball cards or anything that you collect in the last one I got, but like there's like an experience meter that fills up, and every time like you fill it up, you get like a, it's almost like those the Madden or FIFA cards.
Yep.
Like the Ultimate Team stuff. Like So I keep getting them, but they're just like showing up like Madden. It's like I have to play so much to get anything in that game. Like this game is just dumping shit on me all the time. Like I think it's a really good game. I'm not surprised because they've had the best baseball game for a decade now, but it looks great. It plays great. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I think for me, like, you know, every 10 years seems to be about right for a new baseball game. Then it's about, you know, how often the Phillies are actually competitive. So.
Yes.
I think that's it. Unless you guys have anything else you wanted to talk about.
Nope. I have Assassin's Creed 3 Remaster, which I'm going to try, but I don't think I'm going to be able to play it before next week's show.
Okay. So, you're going on a trip or something, right?
Going to Seattle.
Nice.
I bought Captain Toad on the Switch.
Captain Toad?
Yes. Did you play all the new levels, or
I haven't played all the new levels, but I did play through all of the main game, which I never actually did on the Wii U. I don't know why. You know what I think? What happened on the Wii U was like other games came out around the same time, and I just was like moved on to other things. But that game is really cool. I really appreciated it more this time. And yeah, if you get on the Switch, which, like, did you rebuy it, Chris?
I have it, yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely worth the double dip because it came with, like, a series of Super Mario Odyssey levels that you unlock after you beat the main game.
Yes.
And then as DLC, which I bought as well with it, like, for, like, $6, yeah. There's a whole another series of levels. So, like, it's almost, like, double the game in a way.
That's not bad, and it's a really good puzzle game. So
it's awesome, yeah. So I just wanted to like throw that in there, like, yeah, it's really awesome on the Switch. It's one of those ones I would say is worth double dipping on. So
all right,
or single dipping because I never dipped earlier.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, that's a really neat puzzle game, like a really like cool like laid back game to play. You know.
And I mean, if your kids like Mario and that type of stuff, like it's a neat little puzzle game for them to play. Like it's not super hard.
Mm-hmm.
And your kids are getting older now anyway, so
yeah.
I think you'd like it too, Tori. Like it's just like yeah, like if you want a game that you can kind of chill with, it's a good one.
Yeah,
give it a look.
All right. Well, we're gonna let Tony get to the airport. Or at least get some sleep and then get to the airport.
A little bit. Slight amount of sleep.
Yeah. And we'll be back next week. Jeff, say good night.
Good night.